Okay, we continue the story of King Asa as we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We begin our study in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. The prosperity of the southern kingdom and the purity of its religion was drawing good people from the north to the south, and the king of the north didn't like that. Consequently, he built, and I suppose an ancient version of the Berlin Wall, to stop the people from migrating to the south. Verse 2, Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. The south was wealthy, and here Asa sends some of that wealth to the king of Aram or the king of Syria. And here's why. Verse 3, let there be a treaty between me and you, he said, as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me. And in verse 4 it says, Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. Money talks, so Asa bought himself a friend, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram or king of Syria, turned against the north, and so the king of the north was forced to abandon his attacks on Asa and the south. 5. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. And actually, Baasha never got a chance to attack the south again because he died shortly after this happened. 6. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. With them he built up Geba and Mizpah. Asa used the material which the king of the north left behind to fortify his own cities. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. For the most part, Asa was a godly man, but he did wrong by relying on an old enemy, Syria, instead of asking God for help. It showed a real lack of trust in God, and that's one thing that bothers God, when we don't trust him. And so the prophet continues in verse 8, were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. And so God had proved to be trustworthy in helping Asa in the past. You know, he did not have to resort to political maneuvers when he had a God who could do anything and has already shown that he was willing to help him whenever he was trusted. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. God knows those who are loyal to him, and he knows those who trust him. He knows them, and he will never let them down. But Asa sinned by his lack of trust, and he's going to be punished as a result. And then look at how Asa responded, though, to this prophet. Verse 10, Asa was angry with the seer or the prophet because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. What a fool this guy is. You know, poor Asa's pride was offended by the word of God that accused him of doing wrong. He didn't like that. Instead of humbly admitting that the prophet was right, he got angry. And as a result, he vented his anger against the prophet and against the word of God. He vented his anger against the prophet and those who agreed with the prophet. Verse 11, the events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was inflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. And it's not a sin to go to the doctor, but it is a sin to ignore prayer in addition to maybe seeing the doctor. Again, the sin was that he just didn't trust God at all, didn't even look to the Lord at this particular point. 13, then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier covered with spices and various blended perfumes, and they made a huge fire in his honor. Evidently, Asa returned to the Lord before he died. Seems like he did anyway. He certainly was given a funeral, which was reserved for kings who were held in high honor because of their goodness. And we see from the life of Asa that God punishes sin. He punishes his children when they sin, but not because he hates them. He punishes his wayward people to draw them back to himself. And we'll pick it up in chapter 17 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.